News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, hopefully we're joined by Yazeed Syed, the fellow at Carnegie Middle East Center in Beirut and a former advisor and negotiator to the Palestinian delegation for peace talks with Israel. Yazeed, are you optimistic about that we can get a breakthrough with this peace plan?
In a word, very. I give it a 1% chance, if that makes sense to you, which is not.
Wow, just 1%?
Yeah.
Tell us why you're so pessimistic.
Okay, so the plan contains several really important provisions, which, if implemented fully, would be great, starting with Hamas releasing all remaining hostages, living or dead, and the immediate resumption of full humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip, the assembly and deployment of an international security force to take over as Israeli forces withdraw, and eventually full withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza and opening up the prospects of a path to Palestinian statehood and full peace between Israel and Palestine. So that is all great.
Yeah.
However, all we know for sure is that Hamas hands over the hostages within the first 72 hours. Its fighters lay down their arms and the Israelis pull back to an agreed line. But from there on, it's not clear where the international security forces will come from. They're meant to deploy immediately. We have no idea whatsoever of any countries willing to put their boots on the ground and to basically, and also whether Israel will also accept that it loses the right of direct strike and intervention anytime it chooses inside Gaza, as it has done in Lebanon, for instance, for over a year, despite a ceasefire in which it has basically taken the right to hit Hezbollah targets whenever it sees them.
Okay.
So this kind of interpretation, I think, by Israel is what's really the big risk, that Netanyahu will turn around, as he has done in the past, and claim some violation or other to abrogate the entire agreement.
Are you concerned, it would seem Israel has won leeway as well, for their troops to remain until Gaza is properly secure from any resurgent terror threat? Are you saying that within that phrase, it could lead to the Israeli troops staying there indefinitely?
For sure, but I'm saying more than that. I'm saying that I think Netanyahu, for various political reasons, needs an active conflict going on, and he already faces challenges from the far right, though those may simply be sort of cosmetic. He's already told his domestic audience that Israel will remain in Gaza and that Israel will forcibly prevent Palestinian statehood, although this is specifically and explicitly mentioned in the agreement he's just signed. So I think he's preparing the stage for renewed action. And he did this just earlier this year when President Trump engineered a ceasefire in January. Netanyahu canceled it in March unilaterally without penalty from the U.S. and relaunched the war and started using famine as an explicit weapon of war. We've seen this before. And so the real question here is, will the U.S. president step in to make sure that Israel cannot renege, that Netanyahu cannot take every opportunity he's got for cancelling the ceasefire?
Is there any concerns as well that maybe it could be a stumbling block because Hamas don't want to give up power, they don't want to be excluded from a future role? Is that a potential issue as far as you're concerned?
I think, of course, it's an issue. At the same time, they've repeatedly said this year that they've accepted that they won't play a role in governance. I think that the moment the military option is taken out of their hands, then they have no option but to change entirely their mode of becoming a political force at best within Palestinian politics. They have real support. They'll always be there. And so there is a risk, of course, that not enough Hamas fighters and fighters of affiliated organizations and factions will indeed lay down their arms. There may be a lot of grounds given to Israel for claiming foul. However, and here we go back to the agreement, a critical factor is that an international security force should be immediately deployed. Now, if one is, I think this will give confidence to Hamas, among others, that laying down its weapons is not an invitation for Israeli forces to storm back in and pick everyone up. So there has to be an actual deployment. And this, as I...
Why do you believe that is so tricky to do? I imagine there would be countries that would say, yeah, we will do that. We will put troops on the ground. I don't know if our own country would be willing to do it, but I imagine it's something they'd be willing to consider.
I think governments around the world would consider deploying troops if they have a high level of confidence in the plan, mm-hmm. in Israel's commitment to the plan, which, as I've argued, is doubtful, but also, most importantly, to U.S. President Trump's commitment. And that what that means is this is going to need a lot of hands-on attention to ensure that neither Israel nor Hamas renege. Clearly, Hamas is in an extremely weak position, isolated. So the real question is whether the U.S., which has shown endless bias in favor of Israel, whether the U.S. will actually finally start acting as an honest broker. Now,
you said that you're pessimistic about that, I gather.
Well, that I'm very, very pessimistic about. But at the same time, right now, various Arab governments, along with France, and I think also including Saudi Arabia and a few others, are working to plug these gaps in the agreement, which include the deployment of forces, but also include impartial monitoring and setting up independent monitors and so on. So now, the problem I think that for countries like Jordan or Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and others that might be called on to contribute to a peacekeeping force, what they really are worried about is ending up in a situation where, on the one side, Israeli forces maintain, drones or drone strikes, claiming the right to, act against imminent threats in areas they've withdrawn from, which are protected by the security force. Does the security force have full command over the territory and its airspace or not? Can they, can they defend themselves? And what happens if remaining Hamas fighters or others, or just civilians, start protesting and attacking them?
Okay, we do have to leave it there, but thank you indeed for talking to us. Yazeed Sayah, the fellow at the Carnegie Middle East Center in Beirut, former advisor and negotiator for the Palestinian delegation for peace talks with Israel. Yazeed puts the chances of this coming to fruition at 1%. So let's hope this is a 100-to-1 shot that does come true, Ciara.
Yeah, that's an extremely worrying analysis, isn't it? Very interesting.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.